Friends, our scripture reading today comes from Paul's letter to the Romans. If you're looking at a table of contents for the Bible, you will notice that Romans is actually the first of Paul's letters in terms of its position in scripture. It comes right after the Gospels and the book of Acts. Now, it's not there because it was the first letter that he wrote. In fact, in terms of chronological order, Romans was one of the last letters that Paul wrote. But the earliest collections of his letters were arranged in order of decreasing length, and Romans is the longest. So it gets top billing in that section of the Bible. And because Paul's letter to the Romans came toward the end of his ministry, it has behind it quite a history. Nearly two decades of teaching and preaching, and of course, lots of letter writing. Paul wrote most of his letters to deal with problems that arose in the churches he had founded. But Romans was different. At the time of his writing, Paul hadn't yet visited the church in Rome. He didn't know the people there, although he had heard about them and about their faith. He yearned to be with them. He yearned to know them. But he had one other thing he had to do before he could travel to Rome. He had to return to Jerusalem to deliver gifts and offerings that had been collected from the many churches he had already started as he traveled around the eastern region of the Mediterranean. But after that, Paul promised to stop in Rome on his way to Spain, where he was hoping to go to start a new mission in order to spread the reach of the gospel. In the meantime, though, until he could be with them in person, Paul assured the church in Rome that he would stay connected to them through the power of prayer. So let's listen for the word of God that we find in Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 1, verses 8 through 15. He writes, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed throughout the world. For God, whom I serve with my spirit by announcing the gospel of his Son, God is my witness that without ceasing I remember you always in my prayers, asking that by God's will I may somehow at last succeed in coming to you. For I am longing to see you, so that I may share with you some spiritual gift to strengthen you, or rather so that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you, as I have among the rest of the Gentiles. I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. Hence my eagerness to proclaim the gospel to you also, who are in Rome." Here ends the reading. For the word of God in scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God. Would you please join with me in a spirit of prayer? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In Paul's letter to the Romans that we just heard, he writes this: "For I am longing to see you, so that I may share with you some spiritual gift to strengthen you, or rather, so that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine." I am longing to see you, he says. I think it's safe to say that many of us, if not all of us, can relate to Paul's words now in ways that we never imagined we could before. It has been 6 weeks now since we last worshiped together in person. It has been 6 weeks that we've been living in this time of social distancing and self-isolating. It's been 6 weeks since we last were able to move about freely in the world without fear of infection or illness. It has been 6 weeks since we last got to wrap our arms around people who don't live in our own homes. 6 weeks. I see in so many of your posts on Facebook, I read in so many of your emails and hear in so many of our Zoom meetings and phone calls that you are longing to see family members and friends, classmates and coworkers, and you are longing to see each other, the other members and friends of our church family. That longing was clearly on display last week during our Easter Sunday virtual coffee hour. It was so wonderful to see everyone's faces, but even more beautiful to me was the chorus of delight that echoed again and again every time someone new joined the meeting. Oh, look, it's Joyce. Oh, look, it's Brian and Rebecca and Sarah. Oh, is that Oliver there with Liz and Mike? Over and over again, there was such great joy and love that came alive on our screens as we gathered for virtual coffee hour. If you were able to be part of that gathering last Sunday, I'm curious to know what you loved most about it. Feel free to leave a comment and to share what made virtual coffee hour so special for you. And if you missed our gathering last week, you are in luck, because we are going to keep virtual coffee hour going each Sunday after worship. All are welcome. We even had a couple of visitors who joined us last Sunday, and it was awesome. In this time when we are longing for connection and community, when we are longing for healing and hope, love and life, virtual coffee hour is just one way that the Spirit holds us together. We get to see each other's faces and hear each other's voices, and that is truly a gift in this time. Now, in Paul's letter to the Romans, he also writes this: "For God is my witness that without ceasing, I remember you always in my prayers, asking that by God's will, I may somehow at last succeed in coming to you. I remember you always in my prayers," he says. Paul makes this connection in his letter between the longing that he has to be with the church in Rome and his commitment to the spiritual practice of prayer. Paul relies on prayer not only to deepen his own faith in God, but also to connect him more deeply to the church. So as we make our way through the season of Easter, we are going to be inspired by Paul. Over the next 6 weeks, our sermons will focus on prayer. Prayer is foundational to our life as Christians. And for some of you, prayer comes so easily. Being in conversation with God is a natural and normal part of your everyday lives, and what a gift that is. And yet, for others of you, prayer might feel like something of a struggle or more of a mystery. And if you start to worry that you are the only one who feels that way, trust me, you are not alone. Over and over again, Reverend Larry and I have heard from people who are longtime church members as well as new visitors, those who are young adults and those who are not so young adults, those who grew up at Old South and those who grew up in other denominations. We have heard from so many of you that prayer is hard. You're not sure where to begin or what to say or how to pray. So over the next 6 weeks, we're going to explore prayer as a practice that can deepen our faith in God. We're going to look at different kinds of prayer, prayers of thanksgiving and intercession, prayers of confession and listening. We're going to see what it means to let prayer be a practice that shapes who we are and how we live our lives. So as a starting point, let's check in and see where we are with the practice of prayer. I am inviting you to be honest and vulnerable for a moment and to leave a comment with a number somewhere between 1 and 5. Now, a 1 means that prayer is a struggle for you. It's hard or confusing, or maybe it's just not a regular part of your life. And a 5 means that you totally identify with Paul when he writes that he prays without ceasing. And a 2, 3, or 4 is somewhere in between on that spectrum. Now, I am going to remind you that OSU's Facebook page is like Planet Fitness. It is a judgment-free zone. So I hope that you can truly feel like you can be honest about where you are with prayer as a practice in your own life. We would love to know as we begin this series together. Now, prayer is certainly an individual practice. It's something we can use to connect personally, more deeply with God, but prayer is also a communal practice. It's something we can use to connect more deeply with each other. Prayer helps to create both deep faith and lasting bonds. That's one of the things that we can learn from Paul. He connects his deep longing for the church to his personal practice of prayer. So over the next 6 weeks, we're going to learn more about the practice of prayer, and we do hope that that learning will deepen your own faith in God. But we're also going to use prayer as a way to stay connected to one another, a way to create lasting bonds that we hope will last even beyond this time of social distancing. And in order to do that, we are going to try something. We have divided the congregation into small groups, and we have done this based on geography. Now, we know that many of you know the people that sit near you in the pews in the sanctuary, but you might not actually know that there is someone from the church who lives a couple of doors down from you, or a few streets over from you, or maybe on the other side of town. So we have put together neighborhood groups, and we've asked one person in each group to serve as that group's coordinator. They are going to send a group email once a week to check in with everyone, to see how everyone is doing. And they're also going to invite you to share something that the group might lift in prayer for you. There will be a different prayer prompt for those prayers each week. And that's all we're asking. For everyone to reply to 1 email a week to share with your group how you're doing and what the group can pray for on your behalf. Now, I know for some of you, this is right up your alley, and you might be the first person to hit reply all and answer that email. And for others of you, this is so far outside your comfort zone that you want to crawl under a table and never respond to any of those emails. And to be fair, you can totally opt out of this. Reverend Larry and I are not going to be monitoring who participates in each group and who doesn't. We are not going to give any awards for the most emails sent or the most prayer requests shared. So you can totally opt out and we will never know. But I hope that you won't. This is only for 6 weeks. We have already endured 6 weeks of social distancing and self-isolating, so we know that we can do hard things for 6 weeks. I hope that you will give your neighborhood group a try and see how it goes. Now, one other note, you are welcome to join a neighborhood group even if you are not part of our church. At Old South, we believe in the power of the Spirit to be at work in ways that we can't imagine or plan. So maybe the Spirit is leading you to get to know some of our church folks even better. And that is awesome. You don't need to live in Weymouth. We have neighborhood groups that include folks who live in Abington, Braintree, Quincy, Hingham, Norwell, Scituate, Brockton, Stoughton, and even Hyannis. And maybe there are a bunch of you who live out of state who would like to be part of a group together. We know that many of you from outside of Massachusetts are connecting to us through virtual worship. And if you want to be together in a virtual neighborhood group, we will put you together. So please feel welcome to leave a comment if you are not a regular part of our worshiping community, and we will make sure to follow up with you in order to get the information that we need in order to put you together with a neighborhood group. And if neighborhood groups are not your thing, then I would encourage you to still be inspired by Paul, to connect deeply with the people in your life that you are longing to be with. Let them know that you are longing for them, and maybe even ask them what it is that they would want you to pray for them. So friends, prayer is a practice that deepens our faith in God and creates lasting bonds in community. That is what we are going to explore together over the next 6 weeks. And we do hope that you will join us for this journey. And now I want to end with the words that were at the very beginning of our scripture reading today. Because friends, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for each one of you and for the honor of sharing this journey together. Thanks be to God.